my birthday present, give me an extra 15 minutes, okay? I just want to, I didn't mean to say this, but just in line with the prophetic words, it really burned in my heart because I've been listening to Joyce Meyer on The Confident Woman. And one of the things she says there is, do it afraid. And that really just hit my heart. Is whatever you do in life, if it's a business venture, if it's public speaking, if it's going to varsity to college, or whatever God has shown you to do, you've got to overcome fear by doing it afraid. You can't wait until fear goes. So I want to just encourage you, if somebody's got something pending and you're fearful of doing it, just do it afraid. Okay, just step into it because it's very much in line with the prophetic words. What I'm going to speak on today is Revelation, not the book of Revelations, but on actual Revelation. And I just want to tell you a little story as my introduction, and then another little story, and then probably another story, and another story. And then you've got to say to me, your time's up. Okay. When we were on the plane to going to Kazakhstan, I was, what's the matter? Sorry, I've got a little bit of a cough. So my throat is a bit funny. Okay. We were separated as a family because by the time we booked, the plane was pretty full. So Stephen Rain sat on that side and I sat across the aisle on this side. And a family came, two of them, a father and a daughter came and sat next to me here and his wife and son behind. And the guy was incredibly friendly. And he reached over and he shook my hand and he introduced himself and I introduced myself and he said, what are you doing? I said, no, we're going on a mission trip to Kazakhstan. He said, oh, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. And I said, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm going on holiday to the Seychelles. And I'm like, for goodness sake, why Abu Dhabi, you know? And he said, no, they couldn't get another flight. And this is the only flight they could get there, decided the day before to go. And he was being very, very friendly. And we started discussing sleeping pills and sleeping on the airplane. And his daughter asked me, do you have a sleeping pill for me? So I told him what I had. And he said, oh, please, please give me a sleeping pill. So his daughter said, please give me one. I said, no. He said, no, you won't have a sleeping pill. It was very casual talk and bantering. And he was very friendly to the point of being very friendly. That I actually even glanced behind to see if his wife was taking note of this. But, you know, like, is he, like, hitting on me, thinking I'm on my own or whatever? And she was just reading a book, and she seemed totally oblivious to what was going on. So I thought, okay, I'm pretty safe, because, and, I did. I said, that's my husband. Okay, and, so the next thing, this air hostess comes up, and she comes and she shakes his hand and she says, we are so privileged to have you on this flight. And if there's anything you need, please just call us. I like, look at this. And I think, huh, what's going on here? So the next thing, she comes back and she's got books and magazines and goodies for him. And she gives it to him. And please just shout if there's anything you want. And I think, so I say to the daughter, who is he? She says, no, he's a TV presenter. So now you must bear in mind, he's introduced himself to me. So I say, oh, thinking now he probably presents overseas somewhere. So I say, what program does he present on? So she says, on Mnet. I go, oh, okay. I said, what program is it? She says, Carte Blanche. It's Derek Watts. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know who you were. And all of a sudden he was this like God sitting in the same row as me, you know. But I'm just saying, it was like, for me, it was a revelation. And that's why I'm saying, like, life holds a lot of revelations for us. And we've got to always be open to something new. Because when we think we know it all and we've got it in a little box, this is a man hitting on me. Meanwhile, he's probably just so confident and such a friendly guy because he thinks everybody knows him. So, excepting for me. I did, but once I knew who he was, oh my gosh, oh yes. You know, but I want to relate this back to basically the message of grace that we are experiencing today in the church. It's an incredible message, but I just want to take us on a little bit of a journey of church history. I mean, for you, some of you, it might be a little boring. For me, I've loved history my whole life. So in Colossians 1 verse 26, have we got that, Gay? Is it up? Okay. It says, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. And why I'm saying this is, my heart is that every single one of you move from a place of knowing the message of grace to having a revelation of the message of grace. It's something that, like, I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew, oh, grace, what's this all about? And when it hit my heart, it became a revelation. It was something that was concealed even to me as a Christian until God revealed it to me. And even Paul says in Galatians 1:12, he says, I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it from a revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation in church history has always come through Jesus Christ. And I just want you to keep that in mind as we go on. And I also want you to keep your hearts and your ears and your minds. I just declare open hearts, ears, and minds over your lives today, because I want God to say even more to you than what I can say. I want God to put even more in your hearts than what I can put in your hearts, because it comes by the Holy Spirit. It comes by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from teaching. It just comes by the Spirit of God. So, Father, I just release the Spirit of God just to hover over these people. I release the Spirit of God to place His hand on heads, hearts, ears, and eyes. And, Father, I just pray that You would dance with them this morning, and that revelation would flow freely into their hearts and their minds. It's a gift from You, Jesus, and I thank You for it. Why I'm so, like, about this whole message is, When I got it, okay, and Steve got it, and it sounds like a little bit arrogant. I remember having dinner at somebody's house, at Terry's house, I'll say it. And somebody said, it's a revelation. He says, are you telling me I don't have revelation? I said, no, I'm not saying you don't have revelation. He says, yes, you are. So he kind of like alluded to the fact that I was being a little arrogant about the revelation of grace. But it's so hard when you've had a revelation of something to actually teach it and impart it, and because it happens by the Spirit of God. And, pardon? It's like Derek Watts. All of a sudden, I was sitting next to Derek Watts. I wasn't just sitting next to a friendly man. And when we had this revelation of the message of grace, which is, in its essence, the finished work of the cross in its fullness, as pastors, we said, no, this has to be way too easy. There has to be so much more to it. I mean, how could Jesus have done it all and left nothing behind for us to do? We went back to the word ad nauseum. And there were people that sat in that meeting, agreed with us, spoke about us. They've since left, and they have not had a revelation of the message of grace, because you can hear it in their language. And you can hear it in their understanding of the finished work of the cross. They give themselves away. So, you know, it's like, it's the most important revelation in the church current today. And if you don't get it, I'm sorry to say, you are going to be left behind. And I'm going to take you into church history so that you could see how God actually brings things into the church in waves. And, you know, Jesus says, like, I came to reveal the Father. That was the very first thing that Jesus came to reveal, was the goodness of God, His Father. And I just say, I'm going to try and go as fast because I leave some things out. I wrote to here, you know, to believe that we're all going to be on the same page theologically is idealistic. There's going to be differences all the time. And I know people say, oh, come on, we're all Christians and we all love each other and we must just get on with it. And I do know that, and I do want that. But Jesus even said that I came and the message I'm going to bring is divide, father from son and mother from daughter. And every time there's a new message in the body of Christ, there's division. And I wish it wasn't like that, but Satan will take that and use it as an opportunity. I'm just really trying to go fast. Okay. Just since the birth of the church, there's been reactions to revelation, both positive and negative. The very first time I think there was revelation in church history was at the cross. The Bible says that when Jesus died, sorry, Gareth, I'm going to be going on to 2 Corinthians 3:14, number one, the cross. I know, I'm jumping now. The very first time in church history where there was revelation was at the cross. And I'm not talking about revelations of the Old Testament prophets, I'm talking about New Testament. The Bible says that what happened when Jesus died, the veil in the Holy of Holies was torn wide open. And basically the earth, I mean, if you look at history, it went into total darkness, I think for a period of 3 hours. it was almost like there was an unveiling, there was a revealing to planet Earth that the Earth actually even reacted. That was the very first revelation to planet Earth. And the Bible actually says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 14, that our minds were made dull, and to the same day the veil remains when the old covenant is read. And it has not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. When we have a revelation, the first revelation that we will have is that Jesus Christ is Lord. That veil is torn. And that's our entrance into the kingdom of revelation, so to say. I believe one day when we're in heaven, revelation is just going to flow freely through us. It's not going to be, oh, it's just going to be, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that. It's just like, almost like this picture of like spiritual beings floating, just with revelation flowing through them. And it's like, I know the goodness of God. I know the greatness of God. I know who he is. I know what he wants. It's no longer concealed, because in that day, when the unity of faith is established, in that day, everything will be revealed. We only know in part now. We see in part and we know in part. So to think that we know it all, it's like a little scary. Steve's favorite words are always the last words of a dying church. It's never been done this way before. We have to learn to keep moving with the Spirit of God, to keep moving in revelation, and not thinking that we know it all. Thank you, Terry. Anyway, what happens then is this beautiful church is established. Jesus dies. He's resurrected. Paul takes on his task, his mission of keeping the grace message pure. And so we go through church history. I'm not going to take you through the early years. But the church then enters the Dark Ages, which went on for over 1,000 years. I mean, that's like pretty, pretty scary. And during that time, the Bible's not read. People are not allowed to have revelation. If you have a revelation, if you found with the Bible, you were burnt as a witch. Or what is a man? Okay, so basically you're a heretic. And if I just want to say that the next thing that happens is Martin Luther comes on the scene. Now, out of the whole Catholicism thing, in those days, they had what they called indulgences, and you know, you had to say repetitive prayers and all that in order to have your sins forgiven. And Martin Luther actually has a revelation of the forgiveness of sins as a free gift to men and women. So he takes us to the bishops that be, the powers that be, and what is the reaction? Crucify him, kill him, shut him up. That revelation that sins forgiven is a free gift of God was heretic. It was heresy. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, I remember being in Singapore years ago and walking with somebody down the beach, and they were telling me about this heretic called Joseph Prince, who had this growing church in Singapore. And I was, wow, yes, you know, no, that's heresy, you know, yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that Satan will do when a revelation comes to the church is he will label it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the powers that be will make sure that that label is carried. The second thing he'll do is he'll try and shut you up. I mean, hello, he wants people to believe that they've got to crawl over broken glass to have their sins forgiven. He wants people to believe that it's not the free gift of God. He wants us to earn it, because it does away with the power of the cross. Okay, thank you, Rain. So the bust up number one in church history is forgiveness of sins. And many people will stay there and camp there. You'll meet many people that go to church. They believe in the forgiveness of sins, but that's their bus stop. The gospel doesn't go any further than that. And if you add to that, you're adding to the finished work of the cross, because they have not had revelation ongoing and increasingly. So then you get 100 years later, the Anabaptists arrive. They've had further revelation. And that is, you get baptized. You have your sins forgiven, and you can get baptized. Guess who persecutes the Anabaptists? The Lutherans. I mean, how can you get baptized? That's like sacrilegious, you know what I mean? That's evil. That's heresy. You don't do that type of thing. So the second bust up that you get is you can repent and be baptized. Stop. I don't have to do anything else. That's it. There's all the revelation I need. I'm fine. I can carry on in life. But 100 years later, the Methodists emerge. And their focus was on baptism in fire and the Holy Spirit and holiness. Now then, you've got the Anabaptists and the Lutherans thinking they're all out of their tree. Now, why I'm saying that is because when the Methodists had their revival meetings, they warned you not to sit in trees when they had them outdoors, because if the Holy Spirit came on you, you could fall out of the tree. So to them, all the Methodists were way gone, way over the top. So the Methodists probably don't baptize to this day because, like water baptism, deep water baptism, they still christen or whatever, they don't do that. I think it's probably because of the persecution of the Anabaptists. So they don't want to take that revelation ongoingly. They don't want to have that repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. They decide, so what happened is they throw out what is good, and they don't move on further. So we've got to be very careful with further revelation, that we don't take what was good in our revelation up until then and discard it. Okay. And later on, we've got speaking in tongues. I mean, this came many years later, which is the early 19th century. And if you read about it, it was like, do you speak in tongues? Yes, I do when I'm on my own. I said, have you heard about tongues? Yes, I have, but I'm not sure. Is it from the devil? Is it from God? Is it from the devil? Is it from God? And tongues is like the big thing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Azusa Street, early 19th century. No, it's a demon. It's a demon talking through you. I know it's a demon. The same strategy of Satan. It's a cult. It's heresy. He hasn't changed. It's so easy when the new revelation comes to the body of Christ for Satan to discard it by calling it heresy. And all the Christians go, oh God, my heart, oh Lord, people are so easily deceived. And don't let me be deceived. And we have to be like, we have to have a guarded heart. But at the same time, we have to have hearts that are wide open to the revelation of God. Then we've got healing and deliverance and prosperity. And speaking in tongues just basically paved the way to the charismatic movement. Then we've got healing and deliverance and prosperity that came in the 80s. And as well as the introduction of drums and music. Do you remember that? I mean, Lou, do you remember that? African drums calling up the demons are now coming into the church. Who remembers that? Where drums was a big topic of debate. Okay, but that's not a revelation. That was just something that came into the church. But the whole thing of healing and deliverance and prosperity came into the church, and people were, God wants me to prosper. He doesn't want me to be poor. God wants to heal me. God wants to set me free. And that was the huge debate in the 1980s. Is this of God? Is it of the devil? I mean, I was around, thank God, then, so I know exactly. I lived through it. And then in the late 90s, laughter came into the church. You remember that? And then, once again, what was the debate? This is heresy. You're supposed to sit dead serious in church. You know, is this of God? Is it not of God? Anything that, any move of God that comes in is going to be debated, especially by the Pharisees of the day, the church leaders that have got everything under control and under wraps. Because it's breaking theological boxes. They're losing control. They're losing people. People are getting revelation, and they don't know how to handle it other than calling it evil. Because it brings it back into the understanding of God. And right now, in the years 2000s, the beautiful message of grace, the finished work of the cross, something that we cannot add to and something that we cannot take away from. And just looking over church history, it took 300 years for to be repent, to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be revelations to the church. But over the last 100 years, if you look at the amount of revelation that's coming into the church, it's speeding up, it's gaining momentum. And I just want to say, put on your running shoes, church, because we're not at the end of revelation. There's going to be more and more from glory to glory. And I just know that Satan would keep the church in the dark ages if he had his way. I just want to, I was going to teach on the parable of the sower, but I with time I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go there further, but I'd love you to take Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 in the Message Bible and just read it for yourselves. But just before I go on to that, I just want to say today I'm not talking about personal revelation. I'm talking about corporate revelation. And there's a big difference. I mean, I had a lady that was on staff with us when we were pastors at Hatfield, and she had been into modeling and wore her makeup 1 centimeter thick on her face. And when she got saved, God said to her, I don't want you to wear makeup anymore. I want you to love yourself. And then what would happen is she would go around and say to people, God doesn't want you to wear makeup. It was something for her from God. It was a personal revelation, and God will do that for you. But the minute you take your personal revelation and you put it on other people, you're making it a law in their lives and you're putting them into bondage. So I'm just talking here about corporate revelation, which is the grace message, prosperity, faith, all those things, speaking in tongues, the Holy baptism, the Holy Spirit, all the different things that came in. And as I say, I want you to really, really take that chapter 13 of Matthew and just read about the parable of the sower and seed, where he speaks about, I'll just quickly allude to Zechariah 7 verse 12. It says, the way you don't receive revelation is when you steel your heart against it. It says they steel themselves against God's revelation and spirit-filled sermons preached by earlier prophets. And it says God actually became angry, really angry. So there's a lot of things that can hinder revelation, and there's a lot of things that can enhance revelation. And I read a lot into it through reading the parable of Matthew, of the sower, because the Bible says the sower, or the farmer, not a farmer, speaking about Jesus, came and he throws seeds. Some falls on hard hearts, hearts that aren't open to the gospel, other shallow hearts, people that have got no depth of character. You know, and then it says, and then others falls on soil where there's loads of weeds that comes and just strangles it out of their lives. And that's people that are just totally self-absorbed. And we've got to learn to have open hearts, because he says here, but you, your eyes are blessed. And there's just this beautiful scripture there. It says, in verse 12, whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, because they'll be satisfied. When we think we know it all, there's no more hunger, there's no more thirsting, and you block the way of revelation in your life. Steve, should I just leave everything out? And then, yeah, I think I just want to finish with this scripture, and then we're going to just pray. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. What God reveals to you is a legacy and an inheritance for your children. Don't let Satan steal it from you. Okay, the starting point of revelation is when that veil was removed at the cross, and you saw Jesus and what he did for you. For the very first time, you understood exactly why Jesus came and gave his life, and that was for the forgiveness of sins, so that you might have eternal life, but also be a friend of the Father. And I want us to pray together a covenant prayer now in closing. There's two prayers we're going to pray together. The first one is a covenant prayer. I want to invite anybody here who's never made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, who doesn't know the goodness of the Father, or you feel like God is some way distant God who's not quite satisfied with you and your behavior, I want you to pray a covenant prayer with me. And we're going to do it corporately. So if we could all stand. And I want us to all pray out loud. And I want you to hear the person next to you praying. If you cannot hear the person next to you praying, I want you to say to them, why are you not praying? Okay. Don't you want revelation? Okay. So I want you to all hear each other. Let's pray this covenant prayer together. Jesus, thank you for everything you did for me. Thank you that you came to earth to die in my place and forgive my every sin. And that through you, I can now live in the wonderful favor of God, capital God, my Father. I ask you to come into my life to take over. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with everything Father has for me. Take control of my life. Thank you for the covenant you are making with me today, that I can now be called a friend of God. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, is that the first time you've prayed that prayer? If they say yes, I want you to pray with them. Okay. All right, because you, it's a body of believers. If they said yes, the person next to you is going to pray with you, okay? All right. Now, as believers, I want us to make a declaration from Ephesians 1, 17 to verse 20. Okay, it's a lot of reading today, huh? Okay, I ask that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, my glorious Father, will give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened so that I would know the hope to which he has called me, the riches of his glorious inheritance, that I would know his incomparably great power to me who believes, the power that is the working of his mighty strength. Okay. The Lord wants you to grow from revelation to revelation, from a place of understanding to more understanding. It's an ever-increasing kingdom, not a decreasing kingdom. It's not a kingdom that has bus stops. Right here, as I stand today, I don't know it all. And the longer I'm a Christian, the less I actually know. Because I see how often God dismantles what I've believed and starts all over again. So I just stay open, just stay open. And Father, I just declare, Lord, that the people here would not only have eyes in their heads, but they would have eyes in their hearts. Perceiving eyes that would see and scan and see and scan and continually be seeing. Father, that they wouldn't just have ears on their head, but ears in their hearts. It would hear your voice, would hear your whispers, would hear your motivations to them as believers. Father, I just declare that every veil, every lie that is over any person here this morning, that will be completely lifted off of them, broken off of them. And Father, especially the newest revelation, the revelation of grace, Father. Lord, Paul says it doesn't come by teaching, it comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, reveal your goodness. Reveal your goodness to every person here, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. She enjoyed that. Excellent. Thanks, Jan. That was outstanding. I know she put a lot of work into that, didn't get to a quarter of it, but what she got to, I trust, will get the job done. Have an awesome day. Enjoy. I tell you what, because you've all listened so well this morning, take the day off tomorrow. You can say your pastor gave you permission. Tomorrow we declare off. Enjoy it. And if you want to have a snack and wish happy birthday or whatever, thanks, ladies, for organizing that. Teresa and Anita and Roxanne, God bless. Amen.